Hi, we're back. I'm Hollis Walker, sitting in for Mary Charlotte this morning on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. And my guest is Catherine Cagle, founder, owner, and executive chef of Cafe Pasquale's downtown. And Catherine has just placed in front of me another sample from her autumnal offerings at Cafe Pasquale's. What is this?
That's a fresh apple cake with a chili darbol glaze.
Oh my gosh. You guys don't mind if I just take a break here and eat.
And as we like to remind everyone, all those ingredients are organic. The flour, the sugar, the eggs, even the cinnamon, nutmeg, everything's organic.
And some of it, no doubt, comes from the Santa Fe Farmers Market.
Absolutely.
We've been talking a lot this morning about hunger. We were talking about the Food Depot, our local food bank and food distribution center, and how you can volunteer to work there, and how so many of the restaurants, the food producers, the small farmers in northern New Mexico support the Food Depot and send food there so that those who don't have much to eat get something to eat.
And that's because we're really in a crisis. We are the most food insecure state in the nation. 30% of our children are in absolute need. They've been identified. That's twice the national rate, by the way. The national rate of food insecurity is 16.4% for adults and the same for children. But here in New Mexico, we have food insecurity for adults at 20%, and the New Mexico child food insecurity rate is 30.6. This means that 156,000 children are experiencing hunger every year. Nearly one in three children and one in five adults in our state go hungry.
And there is a myth about hungry people, and that's that they're all homeless. And that simply isn't true. Only 8% of homeless people, 8% of those who are hungry nationwide are homeless.
That's right.
Most people who are hungry, many people who are hungry have jobs. They are working.
Yes, 77% of people who are using food stamps are working.
Right. And even if you get food stamps, it's called SNAP nowadays, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, SNAP. Even people who get food stamps, food stamps only provide typically about 2.5 weeks of food. So even if you and your family qualify to get food stamps, that's only going to pay for some of the food that you need to keep your family alive.
And this is why it's so important to support all of our food providers in this county. For instance, a marvelous thing that's happening here in Santa Fe at our, and we also don't forget there's a winter market at Santa Fe.
A winter farmer's market, you mean.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But so it's in all year round. But the Santa Fe Institute needs support because they match for the growers and for the SNAP people, dollar for dollar, the purchases, so that everyone wins.
You mean the Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute?
Yes, and they need $60,000 every year to be able to do this. So please, people, dig deep.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about the farmers market here is if you are on food stamps, you can go to the farmers market and use your food stamps to buy fresh, good produce and meats, whatever, for your family.
It's marvelous. It's really a great federal program. However, it is under threat.
Yes, it is. The Farm Bill.
The Farm Bill, which has not been passed yet, is we're really at odds, just like we were a week ago. Between the House and the Senate. The House would like to cut hunger programs by $40 billion over the next 10 years, while the Senate version of the bill would cut the program by $4.1 billion.
Catherine, let's back up and tell people some people may not know a lot about the Farm Bill. It's called the Farm Bill. Actually, it's a gigantic bill. It's the bill that was begun during Roosevelt's time, during the Depression, and the main purpose of it then was to subsidize farmers, to keep farmers growing food.
Right.
And over the years, that bill has morphed into a gigantic bill, and the majority of monies provided through that bill don't go to farms. They actually fund the programs like SNAP, food stamps, for the poor. So they provide all the nutritional programs, school lunch programs, all kinds of things are funded through the Farm Bill.
Right.
And it always gets stalled. We are currently operating under a Farm Bill that was passed in 2008. And every year, after lots of contention and arguing, it gets extended. And the Farm Bill has expired. It expired at the end of September. And so there is real concern among farmers and all kinds of food providers in the country that the Farm Bill get passed.
Absolutely. It's a $500 billion Farm Bill, by the way, and it's renegotiated every 5 years. And just like we've had with the government shutdown, the House and the Senate can't agree. However, just recently, the committees to negotiate this bill have been finally identified. On the House side, we have someone who wants to cut it by $40 billion, and on the Senate side, just a fraction of that. So it's going to be quite a fight. And so please, people, write Congress, write senators, take a look at foodanddemocracy.org online. That will tell you a lot about this and keep you apprised of what's going on. But it's very important here in northern New Mexico, for instance, as Stacy Matlock put into the New Mexican last week, the Trujillos up in northern New Mexico, farmers irrigate their farm and orchard from ditches. But guess what? The ditches didn't have any water. So they are now dependent on a federal program to make a pipe system. Well, they are looking for a grant of $15,000 to $19,000. And this is all contingent on this Farm Bill so that they can water their farm and keep small farmers producing on their properties and bringing it into our city. We're so lucky to have their marvelous things flowing into us and people in the SNAP program able to purchase them and dollar for dollar if they have enough support from the Santa Fe Farmers Institute. So there's many, many ways for us in the community to support people. It's very important because more and more this Farm Bill is becoming for agribiz. It's not becoming for the small farm. As we know, everyone's been chased off their family farms. So it's really important because in New Mexico, we actually have lots and lots of farmers really wanting to produce on their small farms. So we just need all the support we can get.
That's right. And I was just looking at the figures on this. Two-thirds of the money that comes out of the Farm Bill goes toward nutrition. And, you know, one of the controversial things we hear about so much are the agricultural subsidies that, you know, farms being paid not to plant fields because they're trying to not overproduce certain things and stuff like that. But that's actually a minority of the amount of funds. And, you know, we do. I think it's important to call or email, write your congressman, your senator, and say, tell them what you think about the Farm Bill. There's tons of information online, both from the right and the left. So you can read about the Farm Bill and come up with your own, you know, ideas about what you think is right and what should be in there.
And let's not forget the seniors. This is
right.
Targets seniors, and it's very important for the Commodity Supplemental Food Program and seniors at the farmers markets as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the hungry people in our country are seniors, and they simply don't have enough money. Social Security, living on Social Security alone, if you qualified for Social Security, is not enough to meet your living needs and your food needs as well. So I'm talking with Catherine Cagle of Cafe Pascual. She's the owner, founder, and executive chef of that fabulous restaurant. And we've been talking about the Food Depot and Pie Mania. In case you didn't hear us talk about that earlier, Pie Mania is a fundraiser for the Food Depot. It'll be Saturday, November 9th from 1 to 5 p.m. at Builders Source Appliance Gallery on Pacheco Street in Santa Fe. And you go to this. It has a really, really, really cheap door cost. And then there's a pie auction. So you get to look at all the fabulous kitchens, meet all of your favorite chefs who are always hiding in the kitchen when you're in their restaurants, and auction, bid on pies to take home.
Absolutely. So, really fun.
Yeah, so that's going to be a really fun thing to do. And we've been sitting, I've been sitting here today surrounded by Catherine's food. Wonderful things she brought me, including this amazing apple cake with a chili.
It's it has a chili darbol glaze, sugar glaze. And it's a fresh apple cake, and the recipe can be found online on Facebook and on our website, pasquals.com, or on Facebook.
Oh my gosh, I'm making, just sitting over here making faces, it's all so good, that yum yum face.
And we put a recipe on every week on Facebook.
Yeah, so you can go online every week and get a new Catherine Cagle recipe.
Yeah.
Now, Catherine, I imagine that a lot of the people who work for you have been with you for some time.
Well, we are so blessed to have this marvelous community of longtime servers and our chefs and cooks. And we're just so thrilled. David Colson, our general manager, this is going into his 30th year with us. Our daytime and nighttime chefs have been with us for 26 years.
Who is that? Tell me who they are.
Prisciliano Ruiz at night and Gabrielle Ruiz during the day.
Are they related?
They sure are. They're brothers, and they started out as dishwashers with not a word of English, and now they run our kitchen. And Rudy Gabaldon has been our breakfast chef since 1984. He does our food ordering. We're happy to have Linda Cook back after a 20-year hiatus. She's, Brad Brown's been with us since 1986. He's one of our floor managers. Sunshine Lolly, 12 years on the floor at night. Roblair.
Okay, I want to ask you something. How have you created and maintained those relationships? Because just listening to you talk about the number of people who have worked for you for so long tells me that as a manager, as a business manager, you're doing something right. What is that?
Well, I think we work for each other.
Ah.
I think that's the main thing. It's become truly a marvelous family community where we support each other. Because this is a restaurant is simply lots of social and lots of interactions of systems that have to work. So everyone has to row that oar. And if someone doesn't, everyone says, hey, that's not working. Let's make it work. So everyone has turned in with their marvelous, intelligent creativity all these years and contributed to make it float.
It's funny. I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, but you're a chef. You're a creative person. You must be a true diva. And, you know, obviously that can't be true, because if you were like one of those raging chefs on one of those terrible TV shows, you know, those people wouldn't still be working for you. So that speaks very highly of you, I think.
Well, I think the good part is that all of us, including, say, our general manager, David, all of us have worked. He started out as a cook. We made lunch together on the line. Then he went on to become a waiter and a host. And everyone's played many, many different roles within the restaurant. And I think that's very important. I personally cooked for 15 years and put over a million dishes up on the line window. So it's very important. People know when I say, well, that's just not going to work. They know I actually know it won't work, because I have worked the line for years and years. I baked. Linda, who now is our director of our gallery, Linda Cook, she was our baker. You know, she worked in the baking department for years, set lots of standards for us, and she became a hostess and at night. You know, so everyone's played lots of roles there that have contributed to this really fun place to be.
Do you cook anymore in the...
Oh, yes, I do. Well, I actually walk through and go, absolutely. Taste, stir. Mostly I turn in with experience, and we consult together. We sit down together, and then we work together in the kitchen.
So wow. That is so cool. Yeah. What's the worst disaster that's ever occurred to you in the kitchen? Did you ever just have, like, the milk didn't come in? That's a bad example.
There's so many little stories in the restaurant world. There was the day that I went to look. Someone had ordered a chocolate cheesecake slice, and I went and I couldn't find it. I'd made it the day before. I remember the shelf I put it on. And it took cool. And then I couldn't find it. And then I looked down below, was a 5-gallon bucket of red chili. And I thought, oh my God, did this tip into the red chili? And I got a long spoon and I took some soundings, and sure enough, there was a chocolate cheesecake. But I thought, you know, that might be delicious. Just rinsed it off, tasted it, and went, my gosh, this is absolutely delicious. And, you know, red chili chocolate cheesecake.
Was born.
Born.
You're kidding.
So there's, you know, this is how all, you know, this is how pot stickers happen. They got burned on one side, so they steamed them on the other. In Chinese, the world, you know, all these things, these marvelous kitchen mistakes happen that, wow, it becomes part of the repertoire. It's very interesting.
Do you develop most of the recipes yourself, or do you do it with your...
Oh, it's so fun. I love to see what the staff put together from our ingredients when they have their staff meals. I mean, that I get inspiration from them. I get inspiration everywhere. Visiting other restaurants, traveling, reading. That's the fun part. You know, it's everywhere. This is the one thing that we all do every day, is we all eat. So it's inspiration. You really are so blessed to be in a creative job like this. I just adore it.
So what are you interested in now? Is there a particular region of food or something that's sparking your interest?
Well, I just got back from an amazing trip to Africa, which I never in my life thought I would, a place I would go. And I got to stay on a farm for 8 days. It was all organic vineyard, Babylon's Torin. It was an amazing experience. And very eye-opening.
And what country was this in?
South Africa. Oh. Got to see the big animals and then spend this time on a farm. So that was amazing. And I've come back with lots of fresh ideas from South Africa, which is a huge producer of fruits and vegetables that are available right here in Santa Fe. I had no idea what an agricultural country that was until I went to visit. So it was an amazing, eye-opening experience. And I'm very excited to start some really new tastes.
Integrating some of those ideas into your menu.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so here's another question. I know that you can make reservations at the restaurant in the evening, but I go by there at breakfast and lunch, and there's this line.
Well,
is there a secret way to get into Pascal?
Well, the fun thing is we have a community table right in the center of the restaurant. Sometimes you can just bypass the line, because those are all people looking for a private table, and just go and sit. It's our community table that seats 11 people. It's like our counter. Mm-hmm. So people, you can just kind of slide right in, two or three or four, and say, oh yeah, okay, I'll share the big table. Why not? We're at one end.
That's fun.
But the fun part is that people get to meet and greet each other, or just turn in towards each other and have their own private time. But it is great fun to have that possibility.
Do you have any idea what percentage of your guests are tourists?
Well, we had American Express did a survey for us, and that was very interesting because we found out that the majority of our clients, actually the top 9, 10, were from New Mexico zip codes. And the...
You mean the top 9 or 10%?
No, the 80% of our clients were New Mexican cardholders.
Oh.
And Houston, Texas, was 2 zip codes for there, were 9 and 10. So we learned a lot, that we really are supported by New Mexico, and we appreciate our visitors, absolutely. But I would say, you know, it really does, maybe it's... just depends on the season, of course, when the visitors are here. Summertime, during the holidays, lots and lots of visitors come in, and lots of repeats. We have regulars who've been coming for 30 years. There's two men out there named Pasquale, if you can believe it. Their parents met at the big table, and we got sent pictures of the babies when they were born over 30 years ago. And isn't that crazy? All kinds of things have happened over the years. But I would say that, you know, it could be, depending on the, it could be 60-40, it could be 70-30, Santa Fe visitor. But as I said, we have so many regular visitors that they almost become, you know, family.
Extended family. It's like cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, there they are again.
Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. And you get to know them, and it's just such a pleasure.
Let me ask you something. As a chef, do you go around and eat at the other restaurants in town?
Absolutely.
Do they know who you are when you come in?
Depends.
Sometimes.
And there's a lovely part of being in this. And, you know, there's all this professional courtesy. Like,
yeah, they tear up your bill.
Well, not that so much. But you might get an appetizer, and we also love to treat our colleagues as well.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just part of being in the hospitality business. Come on in, taste what we have.
Who I know that, I'm sure you would say there are many good chefs in town, but who do you think is really creative? Besides yourself, of course.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many wonderful creative chefs here. Joseph Reed just opened his new place.
What's that?
Joseph Reed, it's the pub on the corner of Agua Fria, where Cafe Esteban used to be, right across from Guadalupe Church.
Uh-huh.
He's marvelous. I've followed his career for years. He started in Taos at Joseph Table in Ranches to Taos. So everybody's going to have to go and find out what Joseph's up to. We have lots of people. I know I need to actually go to the Anasazi because I'm hearing great things about that.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Bite Downs come to our town. So John and Bonnie just opened. We have, the Coyote Cafe with Eric DiStefano, and he's also the chef at Geronimo. And it's always fun to go and see what he's up to. I love to slip in the bar at Geronimo.
Yeah.
Right there.
Uh-huh.
So, I love to scoot around a Jumbo.
Here's another question.
Okay.
What's your favorite thing to cook for yourself?
Mm.
When you're at home and you're not in the restaurant, do you cook at all?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
But I have to say I am a breakfast lover. I do love that. And I love to make tagines. And I love to make stews and things that are better the next day or the day after that, because those flavors really marry. So I do love to make a tagine at home. I love to make breakfasts of all kinds of things. I love to open a fridge and say, well, okay, what crazy things can we put together here? So I always keep lemons, I always keep fennel, I always keep just some sort of goat cheese because it's light to put in with eggs. Maybe there's some corn tortillas, or just, you know, tear them up, throw them in, scramble them with eggs. And I do love breakfast, I have to say.
Yeah, that would have been a good question. You answered it for me. I didn't even have to formulate it. What's in Catherine Cagle's refrigerator?
Right, that is a fun thing. Occasionally people do this.
If I went with you to the farmer's market and maybe you had friends coming in or you were going to cook at home this weekend, what would you be looking for?
I just did that recently. Red Mesa Meats has marvelous free-range beef sausages, maybe with green chili in it.
Mm.
He's also made a Pasquale sausage, Jim has, and put in our bitty bitty spice in them.
Your what?
Bitty bitty spice.
Bitty bitty spice. What's in bitty bitty spice?
B-E-R-E. It's an African
bitty
spice.
Bitty bitty spice. Uh-huh.
Combination, the way garam masala is in Indian cooking, bitty bitty, or known as pitty pitty, P-I-R-I-P-I-R-I, in East Africa.
Uh-huh.
West Africa's bitty bitty. So it's Ethiopian combination of cardamom, fenugreek, ginger, red chili, did I say cinnamon? It's just marvelous, and it just makes everything perk up. We use it on our carne asada, and it's a brilliant, we also sell it in little packages at the restaurant or online.
Wow.
So I would do some grilled sausage in the fireplace. And
grilled sausage in the fireplace?
Yeah.
On sticks? Like
a Tuscan grill.
Oh.
That just sits in this. It's got some uprights and that have a cantilever way to put in a grill. And I love to make a fire in the fireplace and get it down to embers and grill anything in there. So I love that because I don't have to leave the guests and everybody can huddle around the fire. I think there's something so marvelously important, internally primitive, that we need
to
huddle
fire.
Around a fire.
It sounds so Little House on the Prairie. Let's cook on the fire.
Well, I did read all those books as a child. I was fascinated by the West and having grown up in the West and pioneer life and Native American life. And, you know, this is the time of year for that, too.
I've been talking with Catherine Cagle. She's the founder, owner, executive chef, diva, and everything else. Amazing woman of Cafe Pascual's in downtown Santa Fe. We've talked about a lot of important things this morning, and one of those things I want to remind you about is Holiday Pie Mania. It's a fundraiser for the Food Depot. That'll be Saturday, November 9th. From 1 to 5 p.m. at Builder Source Appliance Gallery, 1608 Pacheco Street. You can call the Food Depot and get your tickets in advance or just show up, 471-1633, extension 12. And we'd like you to learn more about food and hunger in New Mexico. You can go to thefooddepot.org and learn a lot about how we can support those in our community who are less fortunate than ourselves through our support of the Food Depot. You can give money and you can give your time, and it's actually a lot of fun to volunteer down there. And Catherine, oh my gosh, I want to thank you so much for coming by and for bringing all these lovely foods.
Thank you, Hollis, for such an amazing opportunity to tell you all about all of the passions we have at Papa Pascual's.
Okay, please stay tuned. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name's Hollis Walker. I've been sitting in for Mary Charlotte.